VKS is a scalable Industry 4.0 platform, helping companies transition to smart factories by digitizing their work instructions, collecting live quality data, monitoring productivity, and providing analytical insights for 100% shop floor traceability.
Welcome and hello to the Robot Industry Podcast. So I'm really thrilled to have Kyle O'Reilly on from VKS, and they're in located in Quebec, and I'll bring him on in just a moment. But Kyle is the director of sales at VKS, and he was an original member and part of the commercialization process. Previously, Kyle worked at the sister company as a part-time student, both in production and as part of the VKS implementation team. Kyle has a BA honors from the University of Windsor, which he attended for athletics involved in soccer. So Kyle, to welcome you to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's really nice to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on.
So my first question is kind of, and I think you covered this in the introduction, what does VKS do overall, and what is the big advantage to digitalized work instructions?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. VKS is it's a software platform that it was initially intended for ease of work instruction creations. And that came from a need from our sister company, which I know that you plan on asking me about in a bit. So we could talk about that in more detail in just a couple minutes. But the initial need came from just a simple improvement to creating and updating and maintaining work instructions in a manufacturing environment. The software has grown quite a bit since that time. I'm dating myself probably 11, 12 years at this point. And it's grown to be a full Industry 4.0 platform where the initial need is the work instruction component, but built inside of that is data capturing capabilities for quality inspections, productivity and efficiency monitoring of operators and all the jobs that they're working on, non-conformance collections, and a full reporting section, kind of like a managerial dashboard area for managers to have full traceability on absolutely everything that's going on the shop floor, both from a quality and productivity point of view. And these analytical insights are giving managers the ability to make real-time decisions to prevent bottlenecks and help companies kind of, utilize technology and the latest industrial trends to bolster their productivity and ultimately improve their quality of operations.
Thank you, Kyle. And Kyle, I've seen you at like the ATX trade shows all across North America, and we've met several times. What does this look like? Like, I see the screens. So if an operator is using the software platform, what is he or she seeing? Are they seeing sketches, videos? Like, what's it look like?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. So one of the things that we kind of prided ourselves on in the initial development phase of this was the actual operator interface. And I think coming from a manufacturing company ourselves really helped for this, because we knew, based off of, you know, early indicators from our sister company and the implementation that we did there, just how simple and easy this needed to be for people out on the shop floor. A lot of companies are still, they still have a lot of guys on the shop floor that are closing in on retirement. People might not be very tech savvy. They might still not even have computers at home. That's a reality for a lot of people in manufacturing environments. So from our software point of view, it's very intuitive. We kind of went with like the Apple iPad approach, where you can kind of just look at it and you know what to do next. So from an operator's point of view, when they log in, they're seeing a step-by-step process on how to do their job. That step-by-step could be images, it could be videos, it could be screenshots of 3D models or drawings. Whatever the end user, being the customer of ours, wants to use to build their instructions, they simply build them up in a step-by-step environment for the operators to log in, open up the process for whatever it is that they're doing, and then follow along step-by-step. I could say right now that the large majority of our customers are actually using real pictures to depict the step-by-step nature of the job. So they would go down to the shop floor, with a camera or an iPad, and actually take pictures of the job being built or being done, performed. And the whole concept is that you want to standardize on best processes. So you want to find your A player, the guy who does that job the best, who maybe has been doing it for 20, 25 years. That's whose knowledge you want to capture and put into VKS. So we put that into the process step by step. And the whole concept, I mean, obviously this is easier said than done, but technically speaking, and we have some use cases on this, you should be able to grab somebody off the street, bring them in, and they'd be able to do the job the exact same way as the guy who's been there for 20 years, because that's whose process they're following.
So let's take a step backwards, Kyle. Thank you. Let's talk about the sister company. Now, you actually work there, and I'm assuming it's a manufacturing company. And it's, what's it called?
So our sister company is called CMP, Advanced Mechanical Solutions. And they are a manufacturer. They're a contract manufacturer. And they're also out of Quebec. So we share a building with them still. There's kind of a parent company that owns both CMP and VKS. And they are a very high mix, low volume contract manufacturer who specializes in sheet metal. They are, I would say, mid-size. They have the Quebec location. They also have a location in upstate New York in Binghamton. And between the two facilities, they have close to 400,000 square feet of manufacturing space, about 700 employees now. And they do, I'd say, roughly around $200 million worth of business a year. And that ranges from Amazon automated warehouse to some automotive, some medical device components, and a lot of kind of miscellaneous baggage scanners for airports and stuff like that.
So this software, VKS, was really born out of a need in the manufacturing company to kind of capture that knowledge and make sure to improve quality.
Correct. Our president, VKS's president, that is, Steve Zimmerman, is also the president of CMP. And this was kind of his brainchild. He did go to market to look for something. The work instructions at CMP used to just be in binders, which I know sure. A lot of companies can relate to, right? A lot of the companies that I speak to on a daily basis, it's the same thing. Or their work instructions are posted up at the workstation, laminate, and they're just kind of there for people to glance at if they need to. So that was the same thing at CMP. And they were growing out of a need to diversify their product mix. And they were having a lot of quality issues. And a lot of that was coming from their assembly area, their paint area, and their PEM certing area, which is their hardware insertion area. Steve had a need, and he wanted to find a better way of documenting processes and capture, you know, standardized processes across the shop floor. And there really wasn't anything on the market. So he just said, okay, I'm going to develop something myself. He hired a developer who is now our CTO, Danielle Frechette. He kind of gave him some directions. This is what I want. Danielle developed something, and it kind of just grew from there.
Well, that's a great story. And like, who is your target customer? I mean, there's so many industries and so many sectors across the world. Do you have a kind of a target customer that you like to think about?
So the short answer to that is everybody. Anybody in any sector of any industry within manufacturing is a target customer of ours. Now, the more detailed answer would be, we do kind of come from an environment of discrete manufacturing. So we have, I would say, the majority of our customers in sectors such as aerospace, medical device, automotive, a lot of automotive suppliers as well, tier one, tier two suppliers. We do fairly large amount of business in the PCB wire harnessing area as well. So in those types of environments, specifically in the more highly controlled environments where you need to have a certain level of traceability on quality and productivity and such, VKS does have a strong presence in that type of area. Now, we have branched off in the last 2 to 3 years, and we've entered more. We've diversified ourselves, and we've got into the process manufacturing area, more food and beverage, oil and gas, chemicals, and what have you. And we've also gone into the education sector. We have roughly, I think, close to 20 now, something around 16, 17 different universities or colleges using VKS within North America. And so that's across Canada and the US. And we've also gone into service and repair, hospitality. So for the hotel industry or hospitals, on how to properly clean their rooms or clean their equipment and so forth. So really anywhere where there would be somebody following a process or where there's a need for somebody to follow a step-by-step process, VKS is applicable.
Oh, that's great. And within, so talking about your old president, he was kind of your target customer, so to speak, before he invented this. So who is your customer? Is it HR? Is it quality? Is it CEO, CFO?
If so, it kind of changes from company to company, to be honest with you. I would say right now, so for our customer base is closing in on around 400 companies right now. And some of those companies are really small, you know, some small job shops that only have 15, 20 employees. We want to make sure that VKS can be catered to company of any shape or size. We have some really big customers, you know, some household names that people recognize that are nice to name drop. You know, that's not the majority of our business, though. I'd say the majority of our business is more medium-sized companies, anywhere from, you know, 100 to 300 people, and one or two locations across Canada or the U.S. That's kind of our bread and butter. And the target contact person at these companies really varies. A lot of the times, somebody from the engineering department. A lot of the engineers are the ones who actually have to build the instructions in the first place, or who are maintaining them currently, and they're using, you know, either CAD files or drawings to do this, or they're creating them in PowerPoint or Excel and printing them out. So it's a very tedious and time-consuming job. So we can really kind of speed up and make their lives easier, speed up the process and make their lives easier. So the engineering team is a big one for us, but also the operations people, so general manager, production manager, people looking to increase productivity and efficiency out on the shop floor, the quality team, who you know, uses numerous different methods right now to collect quality data, whether it be, you know, a sign-offs on an inspection sheet or on a traveler document that follows the parts around, and a lot of that data gets collected manually as well. So there's paperwork to do to kind of correlate all that data afterwards, or whether they're inputting it into a database in Excel or a Crystal Reports database and correlating it like that. So the quality team is also a big area for us to focus on. I'd say between those three groups, and then as well as the continuous improvement team, who's just looking for a way of, a lot of the continuous improvement teams are looking to make their plants more lean, eliminate wastes and stuff like that. So I would say continuous improvement, quality, engineering, and operations, kind of an equal mix between those four groups.
Okay, that's very interesting. Yeah. One of the things I'm wondering about is if you're seeing any kind of trends in the industry. Obviously, a lot of people with some pain, and obviously high mix, medium volume or low volume. Are you seeing any trends?
I am. And what we're seeing is a transition towards technology. And obviously, everybody is familiar with Industry 4.0 and smart factories. And, you know, these are all the big buzzwords that are going on, you know, digital IoT and all that. So we could talk about all the buzzwords until the cows come home. But the reality is it's happening. You know, companies are starting to realize that in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, whatever it may be, the way that they're currently doing business, which is in a much more manual, a paper-based environment, is simply not going to be able to allow them to scale the way that they need to scale in order to not even just grow, but to stay relevant. And a lot of companies, they're not even able to be suppliers to larger companies anymore unless they have a certain level of traceability, or unless they have certain certifications, whether it be ISO certifications or whatnot. And VKS, and not just VKS, but other softwares in general are technologies that allow companies to achieve these certain types of statuses. So we're seeing a trend towards adopting technology in general. And then one of the things that we're also starting to see is companies want to invest in scalable software. So one thing that's kind of, at least to me and within our company, what we've noticed over the last two or three years is software and technology in general has become so there's such an abundance of technology that exists now, and that's fantastic. But at the same time, it's making it difficult for companies to kind of identify which software fits their current needs, as well as which software is going to match their future needs. And that's one thing that we've really kind of included, I should say, in our sales pitch and our presentation to companies in this last year, is that VKS can be a software that can allow you to solve an issue that you're currently facing and dealing with. But we also are a company that you can grow and evolve with. And I think that becoming and making yourself scalable is a huge selling point for softwares nowadays, because a lot of companies, when they look at technology, Industry 4.0, industrial IoT, it can look like a big mountain to climb, to be honest with you, and they don't really know where to start. So if you can break that mountain off into smaller little hills for them to climb, it can make things a lot more achievable, and you kind of paint them a path to say, okay, this is your current issue, and we're going to help you fix this, but we also are going to paint a path for you to grow and evolve and start using some of the more, say, advanced features that software platforms might offer. So to allow yourself to be a software that companies can grow and evolve with is very important. I think it's a thing that companies are actively looking for right now.
That's great. And it's not like customization is going away, and it's not like high mix and low volume is going away either. We talk about it more and more all the time on the podcast. So do you have a couple of use cases that you can tell our audience about?
I do, yeah. So we have a bunch of use cases on our website, and I always try to direct people to them to read after I speak with them or you know, do a presentation, because obviously our customers speak louder than our sales team, right? And I would do the same thing. So we try to release a new testimonial or use case with customer every couple months. So I'm not sure how many we have on our website now, probably a good 12 to 15, but I can tell you a few. So one of our very first customers, a company not too far from where you are, Jim, because you're out of London, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So they are out of Kitchener, Waterloo area, and they are called ClearPath Robotics. So ClearPath, they also have a sister company called Auto Motors. So they're, I believe, our second customer ever, going back whenever we first commercialized. Now, I think that was in 2012, so about 8 years ago. And one of the biggest selling points for them, and I think it ended up being kind of the trigger that allowed them to move forward, was they had hired a new employee, and they build, I should kind of rewind, they build autonomous robots. And these robots can do anything from, they can be companions within the military, and they could be used for hunting or outdoor work. Very, very cool products. And to build one of their robots, I believe it was the Turtlebot. I'd have to go back and double check that. But the build time is about 43 minutes. And they had hired a new employee, gave them VKS with the work instructions on how to build it. And they actually put that new employee side by side with one of the founders of the company, who was also going to build a robot at the exact same time without any work instructions. And the new employee finished building the robot at about 46 minutes with a runtime of 43. So he was about 3 minutes slower than one of the founders of the company who's actual design was used for this robot. So that was one of the things where they knew, okay, we could really kind of speed up our efficiency and productivity here if we can grab somebody right off the street and bring them in, and he can build a robot almost as fast as the guy who invented it. So that was a good use case for us. That one's been on our website for a long time. You know, we have a few others. We just released a use case with TE Connectivity, who's one of our larger enterprise customers, and VKS is being rolled out corporately there as a digital work instruction solution. And one of the main things that it's allowed them to do is share their tribal knowledge globally. And that for us has been a use case for a lot of our customers, more on the enterprise side of things for larger customers who have locations all around the world. VCAS does have a built-in translator. So it allows you to create work instructions in English or whatever language that you'd like and translate them to another language just by clicking a button. And you can set up different locations around the world for all your different plants. And using our access control feature, you can control what each location has access to in terms of the actual work instructions. If there's some proprietary stuff or there's some ITAR information that needs to remain within the US. So you can control all of this and make sure that people have access to the work instructions that they need. And that's it. And also that it's in their own respective language as well. So being able to share their processes across, you know, for them and some of our other customers, you're talking about 32 different countries globally, was a huge use case, for us as well. So those are just a couple that I can share, briefly with you now.
No, that's great. Thank you for that, Kyle. So just getting back to the ROI discussion, I know a lot of companies kind of feel they have to do this for all the reasons that you talked about. Do they have do they ever share with you how they calculate their return on investment of the software?
They do. And so ROI is an interesting conversation for us because it's a very popular question. And for a lot of other types of software or anything, equipment, machinery, it's very easy to calculate the ROI. For VCAS, it's a little bit more complicated because it kind of depends on the pain point that the company is trying to address. So it could be just very, very simply, it could be based off of savings on paper for companies who are printing out. I know for one of our customers, Bayer Medical, their traveler documents and routing sheets that follow the parts around the shop floor were anywhere between 80 to 120 pages. VKS has shrunk that to 2 or 3 pages.
Wow.
So that alone is a huge savings, but that's not where I would initially usually go when I'm talking ROI, but it gets overlooked, I find, just the savings in paper. But other things you can look at is for sure is the time spent creating and updating work instructions. A lot of companies, what VKS is doing isn't new. Majority of customers that we speak to already have work instructions. It's what format they're in, PDF, PowerPoint, Excel, whatnot. And you're using softwares to create these instructions and maintain them that weren't developed for work instructions. I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with using them. You could create work instructions in PowerPoint, and I'm sure they could look great. But VKS was designed to create work instructions. So for sure, it's going to speed up the way that you do it. And we have full built-in revision control, history, change management, submit to review processes. All of this is built into the platform. And it allows the engineers to really save time on creating, editing, updating all the processes. For some companies, they end up hiring interns or summer students to create the instructions for them. So you could really save on some engineering time. So that's another portion of the ROI. And then a third is the standardization of best processes, right? So we, and if I use our sister company, CMP, as an example, so in a high mix, low volume environment, a lot of the guys on the shop floor don't know what they're going to be working on, let alone the next day, but sometimes the next hour. You know, when I finish working on what I'm working on now, what am I going to be working on next? So the point that I'm trying to make is it's very difficult to become, so to speak, an expert on a process when you're only seeing that process once every 6, 8, 12 months. It's not necessarily a lot of repeat work in that type of environment. So work instructions are critical to be able to show the operators how to do the job. And one of the things that we were noticing is nobody seemed to be doing this at the same pace. It would take some guy 10 minutes. It would take another person 15 minutes. And somebody else might take them 8 minutes. And so we said, okay, we need to figure out the best standardized approach here. And then that's the way that everybody's going to do the job. So by doing that, we were able to significantly increase efficiency and productivity of the operators on the shop floor. And we have the data on all of that because everything is recorded and put into a report, into our reporting and KPI section. We're able to show an ROI live with real-time data as to, you know, hey, your bottlenecks were here, and here before, after implementing VKS, look at how the increase in efficiency and productivity that you've seen. So I would say that that's the third one. And then the fourth and final one is from a quality point of view. Because what you're able to do with VKS is actually embed inspections, sign-offs, and process confirmations and what have you directly into the work instructions. So when it's time for a quality inspection to occur, that we use what's called smart forms within VKS, and the form actually pops up right at that given time and prompts the operator to perform an inspection as they're doing the job. So it acts as an interaction point between the operator and the software. It's making sure that they're engaged, that they're paying attention, that they're following along. So you get that process compliance aspect, but it also collects live quality data from them as they're doing the job. This could be something very simple, right? It could be, confirm that you understand everything that's being asked of you on this step. But it could also be a full control plan where they need to input critical dimensions or measurements, scan in serial numbers, check for scratches, whatever you may have. And the operator would not be able to get from the step that they're on to the next step in the process until they perform this inspection and press save. So it's forcing that interaction and collecting live quality data from them as they do the job. And again, that quality information is going right into the report for that job. So the quality people can go in and they can open up the reports for all these different jobs, correlate the quality data, and get notified live in real time if somebody inputs a dimension or measurement outside of tolerance and all that type of stuff. So the ROI is as you can see, you can come at it from a lot of different angles, whether that be paper and kind of the environmental approach, whether it be an increase in productivity, an increase in quality control, or time spent savings in the engineering realm. I think those would be the four biggest points from an ROI perspective.
Thank you, Kyle. What we talk about on the podcast a lot is, say, the ROI of putting in an assembly machine, which is almost always 2 years. Like, it just seems like this magic number. Do you ever get the feeling from your customers, obviously, maybe not the small guys, but maybe the medium-sized companies, is it a 2-year payback? Is it a 1-year payback? Like, if when they talk, because it is a very complicated question, is there a number that they sometimes use?
So it's a good question, Jim. We have a couple different examples of that. And, I could tell you, so one of our largest customers from the transportation area is a company called Wabtec. And Wabtec uses VKS currently at 48 plants around the world. They're actually a European company. And they, over year after year, report a savings between 5.5 and 6.5 million. All correlated to VKS. That is not the case for all of our customers, of course. So I don't want to send mixed signals saying, yeah, you're going to save $6 million if you implement VKS tomorrow. Of course not. They've been using VKS for 6 years now, and they use it on a global scale, and they use it heavily. So I would say that it really varies depending on the size of the company, what type of environment they're in, and the type of products that they're building. And we've had reports of ROI after 1 year. We've had reports of ROI after 3 years. Now, the reason that I say depends on the type of product mix, well, if VKS can prevent one defect and you're building airplanes, I mean, the ROI is instant. Right. If you can prevent it really depends on the type of environment and the type of company that you're looking at. And that's why the ROI is so difficult to explain, I think. But there's certainly a lot of different angles and perspectives you could take on it. And the time could be instantaneous, or it could take a couple of years, depending on your rollout approach and implementation approach.
Well, thank you for that. How can people get a hold of you, Kyle?
Best way to get in touch with us is through our website. We try to keep our website as up to date as possible. And there's a link to our YouTube page where we have a lot of different videos, and we have our own podcast that we started last month, but also a series called Guidebook of the Week, where every 2 weeks we actually release a new about 5 to 7 minute video showing it. We call work instruction VCAS guidebooks because it's not always a work instruction, right? It could be a maintenance procedure, machine setup or changeover, health and safety, auditing, anything like that. So we release a new guidebook of the week every 2 weeks, and it shows the different applications of VKS and how you can apply VKS in a high mix, low volume environment, how you can apply VKS in a high volume environment where there's a very fast tack time, a more automated environment, an example specific to quality audits or training for more of a classroom environment before people go on the shop floor. So our website, what I'm trying to say, is very up to date with a lot of information, use cases, testimonials, and of course, a call to action, which is to request a demo. So that's kind of always our first call to action with a company who shows any sort of interest, is we give personalized one-on-one demos where we share screens for about 45 minutes to an hour, walk them through a brief slide deck where we just talk about the three different modules that we have, because we are a modular-based software, light-prone enterprise. I was talking about the scalability aspect earlier. That's kind of how we allow companies to scale with our software, is through the modular-based approach. And then we open up the actual software itself, and we show them the interface, and we run through a couple examples and whatnot, and we go from there. So that's kind of how I would recommend companies to get in touch with us, is to go to our website, which is VKS app, so VKSapp.com, and click on, you know, search around and see, make sure it's a right fit for you. And as long as you like what you see, click on book a demo, and we'll get in touch with you immediately and try to find a time that works to get something in place.
Hey, Cal, thanks again for joining us on the Robot Industry Podcast.
My pleasure, and thank you very much for having me.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. And their info at earhartautomation.com. And Earhart is spelled Earhart automation.com. And I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. A3 is the umbrella association for the RIA, AIA, MCMA, and A3 Mexico. And these four associations combined represent almost 1,300 automation manufacturers, component suppliers, systems integrators, end users, research groups, and consulting firms throughout the world that are driving automation forward. And I'd also like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They are a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, our email is therobotindustrypodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing. And I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, and our sponsors, A3 and Painted Robot.com.